You're listening to the Ministry Grow Show, brought to you by Reliant Creative, the creative agency for gospel-centered ministries. Find out more at reliantcreative.org.
Welcome to the Ministry Grow Show, a podcast dedicated to helping churches and ministries grow and make more effective impacts for the kingdom of God in an ever-changing digital world. Whether you're building and growing a gospel-centered ministry or leading a church, if you want insight into the strategies, struggles, challenges, and successes of other ministry leaders, you've come to the right place. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Dr. Jim Kirshner. He's the founder and president of Global Assist. Jim, thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate this.
Yeah, of course. Can you tell us about Global Assist? Maybe share your origin story, why you guys exist. Give us the rundown of how this thing came to be.
I'd love to. It had its origins a long time ago, about 2007. We were a starting organization back then called Kingdom's Harvest. And we were really called to come alongside a couple ministries that we knew were church planting, discipleship making ministries in India, three of them. And through connections, we came alongside and were trying to help them and help them to grow and to prosper in what they were doing and what God had called them to do. And that went on until 2018. And it was kind of on a part-time basis on my part. And in 2018, I was able to retire from my profession, my career, and I just felt a calling. God said, okay, let's take this another step. And that's what happened. We kind of reformatted or repositioned it and retitled called Global Assist, because that's really what we do. So from 2018 till now, we've been really moving forward and answering the call that we're given by God. And that's to come alongside of native church planting, discipleship making ministries that God has raised up all over the planet. This has been a recent phenomenon, Zach, that God has actually reached out and has touched the hearts, called individual leaders, native leaders, indigenous leaders in their countries around the planet, and called them to come forward and to create ministries that were church planting, discipleship making in their own regions, to reach their own people groups, their own unreached people groups. And it's a brilliant plan. Of course, God did this and is still raising more. We believe right now that from the organization Frontier Ventures, that there's over 2,000 of these independent church planting, discipleship making movements on the planet. And they're doing their work. They're doing great things. They are in their own cultures. They're indigenous led, native led, and then those leaders raise up church planters and other leaders that around them in their ministries that are also, of course, native. So it's so appropriate in what they're doing. And we are a servant organization to come alongside, and there's some key areas where we help them to strengthen them and to help propel them. That's our work.
Awesome. So what is that serving ministry serving aspect look like? What does partnership look like? How are you guys coming alongside these partner ministries? And I'm assuming a lot of it's training and equipping and resourcing. What is that?
Yes. And I think the last word is probably the one that's the most significant, is resourcing. And that's what we are. We're a resource provider, we feel. And, you know, it's a new model. It's a different model in that we have seen and encountered these ministries that God raised up, that they are very, very good at what they do. And that's taking the good news of Christ with their own church planters, with their own disciple makers into their countries and into their regions and into their people groups. And they do this spectacularly well. Millions and millions are coming to the kingdom every year because of these ministries. What happens to them with some time, though? As you can imagine, if I start an organization and I start to grow, I go from maybe myself and one or two other church planters that I engaged in my ministry wherever we're at, And as we grow, it becomes more and more of a challenge to keep up structurally with the organizational structure, with leadership training, even resource management, things that I, as if I were one of them as a called leader that God's called, I'm not skilled with that. I know how to present the gospel and have my teams present the gospel and make disciples and plant churches. I'm not too skilled or experienced at leadership development so that we have solid leadership going out as our ministry grows. Organizational structure. If I go from 3 or 4 church planters to 60 church planters, what does that mean? And how do I handle that organization? This is where we see that they end up having gaps. And resource management. I go from a tiny organization to a much bigger organization. I have resource needs, financial resource needs. How do I manage that? We find that these original founder leaders, they're very catalytic, very apostolic, but they don't have the background, the skills in these areas. And that's the gaps that are tending to slow them down as they mature. And we feel that God has called us to come alongside and we help build those areas of structure for them and help fill their gaps so they can be stronger and then continue to propel out. We want to be a catalyst for them.
Interesting. So you guys are almost coming in and building the administrative back end of some of these partner ministries. Right. They're talented and gifted in the disciple-making process, but they need support in that more of the admin structural piece.
Absolutely. We see and feel that that's why God's called us. We see this from time to time to time again from the ministry partners that we have and others that we're talking to that are in the queue, that we're doing our due diligence. We call them those gaps, structural gaps organizational gaps. And we have the experience, the wherewithal to be able to help them fill those gaps, to strengthen them. How can a ministry continue to grow and to move outwards, to saturate a region of people groups if they're weak structurally? And we know that that's where they've been ignored up to this time. And we are very excited to be called by God to help answer this, provide an answer to these problems of gaps.
Man, that's interesting. This is super unique. I've not ever seen, we've had, I think you're somewhere around the 120th episode of this show. We've had a lot of disciple making ministries on the show, but I've never talked to somebody who's serving in this specific niche need. Talk to me about the story and where that passion came from. Obviously, it's a call you mentioned, but it is some of that rooted in your past experience and your past career?
It is. Some of it was personal because of my life and my career. I was an eye doctor, but also an entrepreneur, and I've had a number of startup businesses, and it just seemed natural to me. As we took Global Assist and started moving forward, we were going to be what we thought more traditional of helping them, you know, how do you build a strong local house church? You know, what's making a holistic disciple look like? And those were that we really thought that's the kind of helps that we were going to be asked to do. But as we started to engage, and it didn't take long that we realized, you know what? God has answered those needs. Every one of the leaders in the ministries that we were working with, they were very strong in that area. But we saw very quickly that, wow, where they were really having challenges and struggles was as an individual founder, leader, is they were struggling with these issues of that we just mentioned, you know, organizational growth and leadership development. Without that, they can't continue to grow and expand and do the job that God wants them to do eventually. And we think it's very critical. God raised them up. They're doing their work of making disciples, bringing people into the kingdom. But God knew that they're going to need some help in these areas. And that's what we're doing. And so we feel very fortunate. And yes, it is. You're exactly right. I have yet to talk to another like ministry or ministry that's focused in international working with nationals to do discipleship making that is positioned the way we are. And it is unique.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously
not to say that that doesn't exist out there, but it's unique as far as I've heard. This is really cool. So are you guys doing any work within places or situations where there is no current Christian presence at all? Or does there have to be that somewhat of a presence that's all, some type of movement that's already been established, and then that's where you're coming in and supporting that pre-existing work?
As globalists, we don't feel called to be a church planting organization as far as creating new work in any countries. We know we are part of this Great Commission's world of kingdom work that we're a part of. And we know that there are areas of unreached, unengaged people groups, UUPGs. But that's not our calling. That is others' callings. But we know that where God has identified regions that need to be reached and has raised up these leaders to reach those regions, that's where we're called. We look for the established, successful. Some may be very small, some bigger in size, some, you know, more recent of origins, and others maybe 20, 25 years old. But we see it from time and time again that that's where we're called to really help them to continue to mature structurally. And so it's that's where we're at.
Very cool. And where do you find that most of your work is being done? Are you... I mean, obviously, you're going where the movements are. are taking place, and the Holy Spirit's moving. But where does that end up finding you in the different parts of the world?
In difficult areas of the world, of course, like all the other work that's going on. You know, where we've got a number of partners in India. We're in Africa. We're in the Mideast. Partner there that's reaching into the Mideast countries, which are in the news right now, of course. And in Southeast Asia, we have partners there, one in South America. So we're where God brings us the next potential partner. We do our due diligence. It's quite a process of identifying who is in need of the kind of work and partnership that we can offer. And but we'll go wherever God takes us and shows us that these kind of ministries are existing and can use our kind of partnership. I must say also that I shouldn't forget, we do supply and help them with foundational, we call it launchpad funding as well. We do a portion of funding. They all, as you can imagine, wherever you go, these types of ministries can use funding help as well. But in our resource management development training for them, we help them and teach them how they can learn to grow and raise their own resources, especially in their countries. We think a misnomer is that, and a misconception is that there's this belief that there's no capacity for native ministries to raise their own internal funding in their own countries, and there is. We know there is. They just need some help in understanding how to do this, and we do that. But at the same time, we're also giving them some foundational funding as well, which is very, very critical to them. We find areas where they really could use certain amounts of funding to do something that's really going to help them propel, and that's what we'll help fund on an ongoing basis.
Okay. Now, the ministries that you're partnering with are nationally led ministries with nationally led leaders. In the leadership development and the resource management side of things, do you partner with nationals on that front as well in that training aspect? Or do you have a team of Western trainers and leaders that are training and leading and providing that curriculum, education, whatever have you, from a Western perspective? Is it all nationally led, or how does that work?
Yes. Well, it's culturally led. So what we have nobody in the U.S. that's doing this training, leadership development, organizational development. It's all we have regional, super regional leaders, all directed by one of our leaders that lives in India, but he's able to coordinate his leaders in super regions, and they work with our partners in those regions. So it's very culturally appropriate. If we're working with Southeast Asia partners, we have a super regional leader in the Southeast Asia area who's part of the culture. It's a little bit broader, but it's still part of the culture. It's not like somebody from the U.S. coming in. We try to keep it very culturally appropriate for them, even with leadership training and organizational structures, which is pretty much business structure, but still we want it to be appropriate for them in their own realms, and make it really relevant to them, because we want them to engage this to strengthen themselves, and it's got to be appropriate for them. So we make sure that is the way we do it.
Yeah. How does that come into play? Like, what nuance adjustments are taking place from a leadership development perspective, where it's not just Western leadership style being slapped on or applied to an Eastern model or a Southeast Asian model, but yet still how do you balance the cultural differences that exist, all while making sure that there's consistency in the strategy and systems and processes? Like, how does that play out?
Well, let's just take leadership development. We have to be very careful that we're not just bringing a Western type of model to them. And we're working now with a partner a consultant that's building this program with us. His name's Dr. Emmanuel Prince. Emmanuel is an expert in leadership development. He spent 10 years of his life researching, surveying, and coming and has written a book called Catalyst Movements, where he's identified 20 characteristics of he surveyed over 170 movements in the world, church planting, discipleship making movements, and has realized that there is basically 21 competencies that a very, very good catalytic apostolic leader has in his life. And we've even developed a survey where you can take that survey as a leader and understand maybe where I'm lower in some competencies and higher in others. And these are all very relevant to them, because these are leadership competencies and in a Christian aspect, in a faith-based aspect. And then from that point, we can help them once they understand where they may be a little bit lower. We want to give them the resources to help them bring themselves up so they become a much stronger leader and much more balanced. Now, from that, we can take that and help them, like train the trainer, where they can take this and we'll be a help to them of taking it down to their leadership levels, their sub-leaders, their second-tier, third-tier leaders, and to also survey them and find out where they're at and help them raise them up their competency, so they become extra strong catalytic type of leaders. And that's how movements will stay strong and move out horizontally without the old pyramid where competency goes down and the ministries the movements tend to slow down. We want to see these movements strong and keep propelling outward at a very fast and strong pace with sustainability. We feel that leadership, proper leadership, and strong leaders will keep movements globally moving in a sustainable manner, saturate regions of people groups, and build the kingdom, a strong kingdom building aspect that way.
What are some of the challenges that that some of these nationally led or national led ministries encounter? How are they navigating or overcoming those obstacles in this disciple making and church planning process?
Well, and as you can imagine, and we all know about it, it really depends on where they're at in the world. And I'd say first and foremost, some of our partners are in very, very tough areas of the world. As I mentioned, the Mideast, even India. India is becoming very tough. There's a lot of persecution going on, more so than I think most Westerners understand. And so that's a challenge for them. We have a partner, I can't say it, and I won't name names, of course, but in Bhutan, I mean, it is very serious and very dangerous to be doing discipleship making, church planting, but it's going on. You know, I think in church history, when persecution is at the highest, the kingdom expands the fastest. It's just an amazing phenomenon to me. to see this happening. But they are definitely that first and foremost challenge in that aspect. That is probably some of the frontline challenges that we're seeing with our partners.
And so what are some of the things, are there things that you guys can do to come alongside them in supporting them in those challenges, or is what you're doing so niche and focused that you just stay in that lane and then find other partners like a persecution ministry to serve that need?
Yeah. But it does bring up another aspect that we do that it just happens that we build strong relationships. We really know our partners and our leaders that are our regional leaders. They know our partners. They become a part of the family, and so we do pray with them. We encourage them when there's these areas. We talk to them. Let them talk to us. You know, lots of times, think about this: if you're an independent leader, been called by God, you've raised up and created this ministry, but you are independent. You're not connected with a lot of other people, and they feel very isolated. And to have a partner like Global Sys where they can just talk to and share their burdens and share their concerns, it's a big deal to them. And it is to us as well that we can offer that kind of relationship. One of the things that we're doing is that as we build this network of ministry partners, wherever they're at in the world, we are bringing them into the, as I mentioned, they're independent. So we're bringing them into a global, we feel a global network, a global community where they feel like they're actually a part of something. And we put them together in cohorts or focus small groups where we facilitate ongoing conversation between a smaller subsets. They may be from anywhere in the world, but it's really amazing when you get together once a month or whatever it is, even by on a Zoom call, and you start to share some of the concerns you have, some of the challenges, and you're talking to colleagues that are in the same situation wherever they're at in the world. They share, they help grow, they help solve each other's problems and encourage each other. And that's something else. That's what Global Sys can help do as well. That's so unique. Otherwise, they're sitting out there all by themselves as independents. And so it's really strong value in relationship building for them. Very encouraging.
Hmm. Well, I want to take a moment for our sponsor today. But when we come back, I want to continue our discussion with Jim Kirshner of Global Assist. James will be back in a minute.
Thank you.
Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money or marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results pages and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up to get 20% off your first 3 months of management. All right, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Dr. Jim Kirshner of Global Assist. Jim, I want to talk about how you go about the disciple or the leadership training and education that you guys are doing. Are there any innovative strategies or technologies or use of digital means that that you're using to engage with your national partners and support them and help them build up some of these administrative systems and structures and processes that has made your work more efficient and more effective?
You know, thanks for that question, Zach, because in today's world, as we've all experienced because of COVID, technology has advanced to such a degree that actually, if we went back 10 to 15 years ago, we couldn't be doing this the way we're doing it right now, because it wouldn't be cost effective. We just couldn't get to partners, work with them, help them individually in their leadership development, organizational structure development, if we had to be in person all the time. It's just not a working model, and it's not scalable. So what we are able to do, because of this wonderful thing called technology, we're able to deliver the vast majority of our services, and it does build relationships, via video, via Zoom calls, WhatsApp calls, you know, anything that we can use technology-wise, we do. And it's amazing how effective this is, and how you can build relationships. You can get to the base matters of things. You can train and teach to a small group, to a larger group. What doesn't matter on Zoom, it works. It's very effective. And we're finding just tremendous response from our partners. You know, in other words, if we were going to do a leadership development course or a session, 15 partners scattered all over the world, we would have to spend a year and a half trying to get to every one of them in the old models. We can deliver this in 30 days if we want to all of them through Zoom calls and Zoom trainings. And it's really effective. Do we go out into their regions from time to time? Yes, all of our regional leaders, super regional leaders, we want them to see and meet with them one-on-one at least once a year. But beyond that, our costs are really dramatically low because we're using technology.
As you were talking and sharing, one of my first thoughts was, I wonder if there's a place. Are you using Discord or other server or apps or platforms like that that can be a digital community development center where all of your partners can talk to one another and support one another and provide insights and expertise? Like what kind of development are you guys doing on that side of things?
Well, it's very interesting that you should ask that. And this wasn't pre-planned. So we saw the need along with this, and some of my background and my life has been working in the IT world. Even as a healthcare professional, I was part of designing and working with electronic medical records and office management systems early on, and saw very early on that what would really make a significant difference in the missions world that we're dealing with is a strong platform of a ministry management system that allows for a number of things. One is, yes, accurate real-time reporting for the partner's benefit, for their church planter's benefit, of what's going on with each church planter's work. And having that kind of information coming back to them, we can do that with digital software and data entry. Another, how about learning management, what we're just talking about here? Is there a way to deliver in a secure, safe way, but in communities where we're delivering leadership training, organizational training, these kinds of things in a very safe environment? We should be able to do that. And is there also then, along with that, a platform where they can have groups or communities where they're communicating internally with themselves, but again, in a very safe, secure manner, but open? If you've been invited in and been vetted, you can get into that community, and now the topics and communication can roll. We are partnering with an organization or a software company that is God had called to do this, and they've been developing over the last 8-9 years. And it's wonderful how God brings things together. Instead of us going out and trying to do something ourselves or find somebody that we would try to retool their software, this is an organization or a company that is already there and developing, and they're well along the way. And now we're working with them to finish out and to continue to develop a very broad-based enterprise software system. It's got to be economical, but it's got to be safe and protected, and but yet provide these tools that we were just talking about. And we're well down a working path to be able to deliver this in the near future. Because you're exactly right. You've got to be able to have ways of training and having programs where people can participate but know that they're safe. Communication communities where they can talk to each other and grow and learn together. That's how we bring these disparate independent ministries together in a global network where they can grow together. We don't have to come up with everything. They can grow together. But we got to put that environment so it's very safe and protected for them. And that'll happen.
Now, that's really cool that you don't hear too often ministries talking about some of the really significant and innovative things that are taking place in digital. And it's all being done on the corporate side. And it's sad to see that it's never or rarely making its way into ministry or being used in ministry, and the efficiencies that could be that could be seen if we would start stepping into this, the 24th year of 2000 year, the efficiencies that could be had if we stepped into the year that it is, 2024. Man, there's a lot of opportunity and really a lot of missed opportunity because we're just trying to do things the same way we've always done them. And there are all kinds of really cool things that are being done. So is this software to market, or is it still beta, or can you share what you guys are working on?
We're beta testing with one of our partners right now. We're at that level where we can beta test, and all the modules are not fully complete, but while we're completing them and working on what we can deliver as at least stage one product, we are, I guess you can call it a beta test, but we are working with one partner in India that we're using as our testing market, sorry, testing facility. So, you know, I was going to say why this is so important to me and it just seems so relevant is because, again, back in my history and my background of coming out of the medical world where we went through in the late 90s and early 2000s of transitioning medical practices to electronic medical records, that was a difficult thing. Now, in today's world, in 2024, look at the result. You don't go to any of your doctors, hospitals, anywhere where they're not putting everything in on the computer, but things are shared. It's such a strong advantage. I come into this ministry, missions world, and I see the same sort of thing that was in the medical world before we went digital, before everything occurred. And now you talk about safety. I understand that because in the medical world, we have HIPAA laws. We had to be very secure. You could have people hacking in, sharing information, had to be very protected. Right. That's what we're looking at with this as well. So one of our concerns of our partners as we cast this vision of them is, ooh, I don't know if we can share stuff because it's going to be dangerous for us. No, we're going to, in today's world, technologically, we can control that. We can protect you. So, yeah. So we're moving along with it, and yes, we're in beta testing right now.
Well, yeah, the fear is a legit fear because so many of the legacy platforms that we've historically used for digital communication are seeming to turn on anything that has to do with Christianity, and so there is a legitimate concern, but to go outside of some of those legacy platforms and create things that are owned by the ministry space so that with the security element being front and center as far as a focus to the development process, and that opens up all kinds of safety opportunities and securities that now we can control rather than being dependent on who flips the switch on or off with some of those legacy platforms that we're used to. So,
absolutely. Yeah, who has the keys to those things? Absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly. Man, that's really cool. I'm excited to see what you guys come away with and how that starts being used.
Well, and our intentions is to, when this is developed, is on purpose to share it with other global ministries as well. This isn't something, this is kingdom.
Right.
And yeah, so this
not
is
just
not
a corporate endeavor.
Global, it's just our partners, right.
That's awesome. Well, hey, let's take another moment to hear from a sponsor today. But when we come back, I want to continue our discussion with Dr. Jim Kirshner of Global Assist.
Hi, church leaders. Today's episode is sponsored by Kingdom Stories. When it comes to your digital marketing and content strategies, have you ever wondered how you can use the power of storytelling and testimony? Imagine the impact. Stories and testimonies that resonate, that move hearts and minds. Testimonies that prepare people to receive gospel truths. Here's the problem. You're busy doing ministry and you don't have time to worry about your content strategies. And you definitely don't have time to worry about one more program. You already have way too much on your plate. The consequences? You're not taking full advantage of digital. The content you do post gets ignored. You have no plan or strategy for your digital engagement. And ultimately, God doesn't get the glory he deserves because we're not testifying of his transformational and redemptive work. What would it look like if your people knew how to share their testimonies? Your monthly content strategies were filled with stories instead of self-promotional content, and your content was focused on your people and God's work in their lives. What if your content was actually engaging because it was story-driven? Kingdom Stories is more than just a service. It's a catalyst for transformative digital communication. Stories change lives. Stories are engaging, and everyone has a story. What has happened in my life can happen in your life too. Here's the best part. You don't have to do any of the heavy lifting. Kingdom Stories will handle everything from start to finish. If you want to learn more or get our free content strategy map that will outline the entire process, go to kingdomstories.us. We know how overwhelming and frustrating content strategy digital marketing. So we've solved that problem for you. Stop creating aimless content. Let us help you tell the stories coming out of your ministry. Let stories and testimonies fuel your church's digital outreach.
All right, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Dr. Jim Kirshner of Global Assist. Jim, as we get back into this, we talked about this offline a little bit, but I want to know kind of a little about what drives you, what excited you getting you into this ministry, what maybe drove you to make the shift in 2018 to what you guys are doing now with this focus on national leaders, specifically given the reality in which we're living where the global population has doubled since 1970. Like, how do we've talked about innovation before the ad break. How do we innovate and do new things to try to keep up with this population growth that, man, what we're doing right now doesn't seem like we're keeping up with that rate of growth.
Well, Zach, that's what's really so encouraging to me and exciting for me is that I see God in action. God in his knowledge and wisdom knew what was going to happen to the human population. And very few people know what you just said is that the Earth's population has just skyrocketed exponentially in the last 100 years, but especially in the last 50 years, doubling. If you can imagine that, doubling from 4 billion to 8 billion people. I always ask myself the question, if we want to be compliant and honor Jesus's command to go into all the world and make disciples, are we accomplishing that? And are we keeping up? And in the older models, we couldn't. And God knew this, and that's why God has raised up these independent discipleship-making church planting movements in their countries to be relevant and be where he wants them to be. He's done the population. He's done the innovation. The innovation is them. And so what we're doing is he's calling us to come alongside and to help strengthen them so they can do the work that he's called them to do in a very effective and full way to be able to saturate their regions with kingdom making. And so this is the innovation. And then do we use tools now to help us deliver what he's called us to do to make them stronger? Yes, we do. All the tools and technology we're talking about, all the resources of helping them grow structurally, that's all comes a part of helping them to propel them. But God did the innovative thing. He's changed a paradigm. This is a huge paradigm. We were in the model of taking the gospel and making disciples around the planet pretty much the same for 200-300 years with the missionary model. And it was very effective. God planted seeds. But because of what happened in the last 100 years with the population, God himself raised up. We didn't go over and find these church planters that we are coming alongside as partners. They're there. God raised them up. It was his work. We're here to help strengthen them. And that's the model. And I'm so excited about it that we can be a part of God's big plan.
So as you guys look ahead, what's the vision for the future look like for global disciple making and church planting led by nationals? And what are some of the challenges that you think you're anticipating as we strive to fulfill the Great Commission?
To me, that's the only model that really makes sense going forward. The Earth's population is still growing. As we know, India just became last year the most populous country on the planet with 1.4 billion people, and it's all growing. Africa is exploding in population. So it's the model that makes sense. I think God will continue to raise up these leaders. It's our job to stay at the forefront with it, to come alongside and to help them be strong and to help propel them in what God's called them to do. So it's going to do nothing but continue to grow. We pray that we can fulfill the Great Commission through these ministries that God's raised up. I think that even with the population expansion and growth, the good news can be taken and make disciples of all nations, because that's our command, that's our challenge, and God's enabling all of us to do that. We in the West participate in a little different model than what it's been in the past, but we're still, as the family of God, we need to be working together to propel and to advance the kingdom for God's glory. It's all for God's glory and for his kingdom's growth. And God desires that everybody comes to him in faith, and we're just helping those that are doing the work to make sure that people hear the good news of Christ.
Yeah. I think we have time for one more question. And we talked about this offline. This could be a whole episode in and of itself, but what role does storytelling play in your ministry? And then what areas are you guys implementing storytelling?
There's two sides of this. One is the side of our ministry partners and what they're doing. Because remember, and those that are listening to this podcast, they are in areas of the world in which they live where education is at a very low level. There are many, many people in sometimes the majority of people in their regions that can't read or write. And so orality, storytelling and orality is really, really important to be able to deliver the message of the Bible. And they are doing it very effectively. We've got a couple partners who really specialize in this because of their people groups and their regions. So it's a critical part of taking the good news of the Bible and of Jesus' salvation message to these people in storytelling in a rally fashion. For us, we need to bring the stories that we hear and that we know about and be able to share it safely with our partners here in the United States. Those that invest in God's work through us to propel these ministries, we need to share stories of success and what's going on and the hardships and the successes that our partners are encountering. And these stories are so critical. Stories touch the heart. And, you can share facts, and that affects the mind. Stories impact me as a human being, which it should be. We're emotional beings, and we need to hear the stories so that we can get active and be called by God to participate. So it's really important on both sides we see as an organization, as Global Sys, storytelling and orality communication. It's critical.
Yeah, let's talk about that orality communication culture side of things. Most of our listeners will know this, but most of the world, 70%, I think, plus function and communicate in orality or story-centric communication cultures. So that seems to be what you guys are experiencing on the leadership development side. Is it because so much, especially Western leadership development, is based in this logic, reason, step one, two, three processes and systems. It's systems and processes heavy, right? How do you communicate and educate that kind of content and leadership training and development in a story-centric or orality culture? Are there adjustments that are being made to train and equip in those spaces for those contexts, or what does that look like?
Well, we're a little freer because what we're doing and what we're the work that we do with our partners in leadership development, organizational development is they themselves, all of our leaders are well-educated, Bible-trained. God just chose the right people in their context of raising them up. And then the leaders they tend to bring up around them also are high quality, biblically trained people. So from that standpoint, what we do and the messages or the resources that we're delivering to help strengthen them, we don't have to worry so much about orality, but it's the work that our partners are doing and taking the gospel out amongst their people groups. That's where orality becomes so important. You're exactly right. We in America are so oblivious to the illiterate situation in the world that 70% of the world's population can't read or write. That's an amazing statistic. We just can't even comprehend it. They know. Again, the value of God working with nationals. They know their people. They know they are. It's their people. They know the situations that they're in, and they prepare for it. Our partners that are in the regions where illiteracy is really high, from day one, they started to do their work with AI and their church planters in an oral fashion. Never, you know, with videos, with and maybe translated or talked voiceover in their own languages, storytelling of gospel stories and Bible stories. They've been doing this work and are doing this work. So they know, they get it. And again, could they use some help in this? A little bit, but not too much. They are, by and large, the partners we have right now are very adept at doing this. Now, some of them don't have a need. Some of them are in countries that are a little more sophisticated and a little more educated. But by and large, the vast majority of this unreached people groups in the world are of this nature. So,
Well, and I think I did a video on this, the story-centric orality topic on our YouTube channel a while back. And there is a statistic, and I'm probably quoting this wrong. It's been a while since I've read it or looked at it, but I think it's something to the effect of within 2024 in the West, we're looking at illiteracy rates in the 60% range of kids coming out of eighth grade. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that so much of what we're doing, so much of our education is, and so much of the time spent for that generation is spent on devices, consuming content. Yes. That is the digital space is a story-centric orality communication culture. When I go on social media, it is imagery, videos, and iconography. Right. Facebook has said by next year, they're going to not have any words on their platform at all. Twitter already functions very similar. Instagram is almost completely imagery and video. Like these platforms where we're spending, TikTok is completely video driven. You have these platforms where we're spending 8+ hours a day and illiteracy rates are going down. Now, how does the church, especially the Western church, navigate that when we're still functioning as a Western church body in literacy, reason-based communication, right, trying to reach a generation that is becoming more and more illiterate and more story-centric in their communication because, again, they're spending 8 hours a day in an orality world. The digital space is an orality, story-centric world. And so I think we're seeing a shift, especially in the West, and a move towards where the West has historically been literacy, reason based, a move towards orality communication culture, and the church is completely unprepared for it because we're still communicating in post-Enlightenment logic, reasoning based communication. And so how do we make these adjustments, these nuanced changes, big changes, not even necessarily nuanced. I think there's a lot that we can learn from these leaders who are in it, in the orality and story-centered communication cultures. But there has to be a shift towards an understanding and a use of storytelling. And if we don't make that shift, we're going to continue to be more and more irrelevant with a culture that is moving in that direction.
Boy, you said so many things so that strikes my heart and so correct that we have to be willing to move out of our paradigms. We get caught as human beings and as organizations, as churches, in paradigms. What's worked in the past feels good, and we should persist with that. And, you know, we've got to be agile. We have to know when God is moving and how and where society and culture and humanity is at. And we can't be so stubborn that we want to hang on to things that, quite frankly, we'd love to change and make it go back the way things used to be, but that's not the way things are. And we've got to be prepared. We're not talking about changing the gospel, the message of the gospel, but how it's delivered. We've got to be aware of what humanity is experiencing. And you're right. You'd think that humanity is moving more towards literacy around the globe and all that. It's not. You know, technology is new to the human race. I think cell phones are only 15 years old. We've got to understand what technology is doing to humans and be ready to be along with that and to use what's available to deliver the message of the kingdom. And we've got to be adept at change. And change is uncomfortable for a lot of people. My life has always been, change has been the way I live. But I realize so many people are uncomfortable with that. And maybe not the younger generations. You know, that there's a bright spot as well. I get excited when I see the younger generation, what's happening to them, but how they can use it and move it forward in positive ways. And even amongst the younger generation of the body of Christ, the church, there's a lot of innovation going on. We've got to be happy with it and embrace that innovation and use the tools available to us.
Yeah. Well, and it because we've been doing things for so long the way we've been doing them, it does feel like change. But in reality, it's very much going back to the original ways in which God chose to speak to us. Scripture is mostly story and delivered in story form, right? 75% of the scriptures are narrative in form. 15% are poetic. That leaves only 10% that are instructional in nature. And so, and I see that throughout human history, we have communicated by and large in a story structured or story centric or orality communication cultures. It's only in the last 300-400 years that we've seen this shift towards logic, reason, literacy-based communication as the driver. And so I don't know. I think that I believe we're wired as a species, as humanity, to engage with and relate around story. And you're seeing a global shift back to that. As much as we want to fight against it and push against it and be uncomfortable in that change, it's happening whether we like it or not. And so how do we, as the church, who are, I think, called to step into need and step into where people are at, and just like Christ met us where we were at, how do we step into the places where people are, where they're spending their time, where they're putting their attention, and be relevant in those places? And those are just some crazy guys, passion around story thoughts. So,
and what you say really resonates, because if you look at the millennia of human history, orality. If you go back even to the children of Israel, they were read, you know, scripture that was instructional. It was read to them. You think the children of Israel mm-hmm. were literate and had books and Bibles and stuff, the Torah that they read themselves? No. It was all oral transfer, family, generation to generation, orally. And you're right. Maybe, and here we are hypothesizing, but maybe that's why technology that we're seeing in today's world is so popular, because it strikes something within us, within society, amongst humans, that this feels good because it's so much oral image based. And we like that. So, you know, we've had encyclopedias around for hundred years. And how many people read encyclopedias? Some. But, you know, now you have access to information and data and things that are just so easy to get and be able to share. It definitely is a different world in which we're living, and it's changing dramatically as we go forward. So you're right. The body of Christ, we have to be ready to adapt and keep moving forward and to use these tools to the kingdom's advantage.
Hmm. Well, Jim, this has been a super fun conversation. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
If people want to get a hold of you, learn more about what you're doing, how can they do so?
Well, probably the most direct, and I'd be happy with this, is just J. Kirchner. It's K-I-R-C-H-N-E-R. So J. Kirchner, K-I-R-C-H-N-E-R, J is in the initial J, at goglobalassist.org. Goglobalassist.org. And that'll get right to me. I would love to have it. There is an info at goglobalassist.org as well. But if they, from this podcast, if they want to contact me directly, that'd be fantastic. Our website is goglobalassist.org. But they got to do the goglobalassist.org.
Yeah, go global.
www. Yeah.
Assist.org. All right, I'll make sure to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, because globalassist.org won't get it to us. It's got to be Go Global Assist in everything. So, yeah.
All right, cool. Can I pray for you as we wrap up?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Father, I just thank you so much for this conversation with Jim and the blessing that it was for me, and hopefully the blessing that it is to our audience. I pray that you would go before Jim and his team and continue to lead and guide and support them as they resource and train and support so many ministry leaders, national leaders who are on the front lines of these movements that your Holy Spirit is kicking off and sparking off all over the world, Lord. It's exciting to see and hear what you're doing and how you're moving. Thank you that you've invited us into partnership in that redemptive narrative. And so, I just lift up Jim and his team and all of the ministry partners that they work with, that you would continue to provide wisdom and guidance and clarity on how to grow and be effective and efficient and strategic in developing each of their individual ministries, Lord. We love you. Thank you that we get to be part of what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jim, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Growth Show. If you enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and or review us on the iTunes store. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be an incredible guest on the Ministry Growth Show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at info@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org. See you next time.